This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. Now, as we always do at this time, we're going to talk to Daniel Whithouse, who is on the Beyond That's So Gay tour. And he's been through Esperance, Kalgoorlie, and now headed to Perth. But not, it appears, to Indonesia, where there was going to be a little side trip, but got stymied through a terrorism threat. What was that all about, Daniel?
Oh, good morning, Doug. The International Lesbian Gay Association Asia Pacific conference that they have every 2 years was being held in Surabaya, Indonesia, and a particular Muslim, radical Muslim group actually came into the hotel where that was being stayed and said if people didn't leave the country immediately, there were, I think, 16 different countries with delegates from all over. If they didn't leave the country immediately, then it was going to be very unsafe for those people.
Okay.
And the police said that all that they could guarantee was delegate safety to the airport, which is disappointing, rather than saying that they could guarantee that they could continue and on with the conference. And, of course, the organisers decided to get to the airport, and I think some people have gone to Yogyakarta, which is another place in kind of southern Java. Certainly that meant the meeting was stopped, and I got a call from my international executive director who said, please don't come, it's not safe, I'm heading back to Amsterdam.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, dodged a bullet.
well, I was literally about 4 or 5 hours before heading to the airport to head out to Surabaya. So yes,
This was threats from Muslim extremists, wasn't it?
It was. I'm still waiting to speak probably to my executive director about what his take is on it, because he actually got to Surabaya, I didn't. But definitely, it seems to be extremist Muslims. Yes.
Mm. Well, you ran into a bit of extremism of your own on the road, didn't you? You ran into a couple of not very pleasant truckers. Where and what was that all about?
Yeah, look, I drove across the Nullarbor, and that's around about 1,800 kilometres, and there are a very, very rare kind of stops about every kind of 100 k's to 150 k's, and so these petrol stations that pop up out of the blue become real kind of havens for everybody who's travelling through, including some truck drivers. And I ended up running into a pair of guys who decided that they wanted to kind of mock me when I walked in to pay for some fuel and start pointing and laughing and gesturing. And I noticed that when I looked at them, I kind of was in a bit of disbelief at first, but they just continued. And so I had to do a bit of a reflection about what I was going to do. And my first reaction was to kind of run and get out of there, but then I kind of decided that that's not what I wanted to do, and that's not what my trip was about.
Yeah, because you felt, I mean, you describe on your blog thatsogay.com about the giggling and the pointing and the general atmosphere of unpleasantness that these two guys were putting out, and you were initially going to walk away, but you changed your mind.
Yeah, look, I definitely I walked out of the petrol station. One was to go and get some money to go and get some milk. So the story that I tell is that I wanted to get some fresh milk, because on another boy you really can't get it that often. This was the first place where I could, and that fridge where the fresh milk was in front of a couple of truckers who looked very kind of rough and pretty aggressive, and I did walk back to the truck, and I sort of took a deep breath, and I thought, by the time I kind of left the petrol station and walked to the truck, I kind of said, look, I'm going back in there to get some fresh milk. This is not cool. And decided to walk back in, and I tell the story on the blog of remembering some advice my older brother gave me, and I kind of decided to look them in the eye rather than just kind of walking out and driving off and finding some safety. And so I decided to walk back in and look them straight in the eyes. I walked down to the fridge in front of them, and what I found was as soon as I walked back in the place and I was looking at them, they couldn't meet my gaze. And these were two kind
because
of...
Because you're not supposed to behave like that in their book, are you? You're supposed to cower and run.
Absolutely. So I walked down there, and with every step I took, I continued looking at them and was waiting for them to look. And what happened was they became very, very uncomfortable, started looking at the floor. the guy who had kind of instigated it was gulping. The other guy was kind of like starting to... I got the feeling of starting to say, look, I'm not with him. And so I marched up and I got some milk, and I thought that's great. And I turned around to look once more to say, because what I was going to say is, you know, is there something that's funny? I didn't want to escalate it. I just thought this is not. I just wanted to diffuse the situation. And they wouldn't look, and so I walked down and I paid for the milk, and then I turned around again, and they still weren't looking. And then I thought, okay, that was one of the strangest experiences of my life.
So I guess you get to wear the white hat now.
well, look. I mean, one of the things.
It all sounds very Clint Eastwood, you know.
And I was reflecting on that as I was going. I was thinking, look, this is not a movie scene. This is not something like Kill Bill or Kill Bill 2. This is kind of like. But one of the things I was conscious of is that, you know, like I'd been quite, you know, really feeling really unsafe, and to the point where I kind of had started to shake on my way out of the petrol station, and I thought this is a real. Yeah, this is a very real thing, and it's about the Nullarbor, and it's about truckers, and it's about two very big men who were really trying to intimidate me in that kind of environment. So, it was a very surreal experience in some ways.
Yeah, well, I think for the benefit of listeners who don't know you, the sight of you stalking determinedly towards them would probably have put a bit of a scare into them, because you're a pretty fit guy, you know. And it doesn't sound like as though they were. They sound like a pair of rather weighty truckers in the wrong sense of the word.
Yeah, one kind of, I don't know whether listeners remember kind of worldwide federation wrestling, but one looked kind of like King Kong Bundy kind of thing, and he was kind of quite big, and he had. Tats on his arms and things, and just the absolute, you know, epitome of what truckers are. And the other one was kind of probably about my size, but definitely both of them didn't look fit. But I mean, I agree that maybe with them sitting down. But again, it was more about just me wanting to go up and grab that milk and say I have the right to walk down that side of the room, and I'm not going to change my behaviour because of, you know, you guys gesturing and laughing together.
Well, good on you. Well done. Now, what else did you discover on your travels? You're getting now into some fairly kind of, I would have thought, homophobic territory generally, aren't you? Places like Kalgoorlie, for example.
Yeah, look, I got to Esperance, which is kind of the seaside getaway of Kalgoorlie, and I also went to Kalgoorlie in the same week, so it was kind of like this kind of like rough mining town versus this kind of idyllic seaside village. And it's interesting that I found similarities, and I think, you know, people have warned me about my safety and what could happen in Kalgoorlie, and some people suggested that I should just drive straight through it, but what I found in Kalgoorlie was something quite different, and I didn't find it to be, I guess, I didn't find the climate to be overly hostile, you know. And again, this is just, you know, spending a couple of days in the town, but talking to people, it was more about the perception about what could happen given the mining culture, as opposed to what I actually found. And I describe in my blog that it's by far the campest place that I've been to so far. And it's just, the whole time my Lesdar and my Gaydar were absolutely, like, I don't know whether it was broken, but Kalgoorlie was kind of kicking on. And that was both in the day, and that was also in the night, because people talk about Kalgoorlie being potentially unsafe at night because they talk about all the miners coming up from the mine. They've been working 12-hour shifts. They work really hard. They want to drink hard. They want to kind of, they don't want anyone to get in their way. But there's other people who say, look, you know, Kalgoorlie's got this long history of things like, you know, brothels and sex workers, and people kind of blow in and blow out of town to make money. And so there's not necessarily connections or people really, you know, caring too much about what other people do with their lives. And so some people have suggested that makes things easier, like, or the climate less hostile for LGBT people.
Mm. Well, say, you don't expect to hear that about a place like Kalgoorlie. I would have had the standard, I suppose, the Priscilla kind of reaction. You know, they're going to beat you up out the back if they find out you're a puff.
Yes.
Obviously, it didn't work out quite like that, which is rather nice to know, in a way.
Yeah, and But at the same time, I mean, you know, talking with local teachers and workers, what they did say was that there is, young people are not coming out. Mm. Even they're not coming out after school. They're noticing that young people are leaving, but they were saying, look, we don't even hear about this in our schools. We don't even have young people coming out, so it suggests to us that in itself, you know, we haven't really thought about that, but that in itself suggests that there's an issue, that that's not actually happening. And and that was a conversation point I had.
Okay. So where next, Daniel? Where are you off to now?
Well, I've kind of had a break in Perth that was really unexpected because I'm supposed to be in rural Indonesia, which is kind of different to where I'm at. Where I'm going to next is Bunbury, which is about 2 hours south of Perth, and also I'll be going down to a place called Albany, which is similar to Esperance, where I've been, which is kind of like a seaside centre, but it's kind of like a focal point for a lot of farming communities, and it's thought that Bunbury is about 20 years behind, and that it should be kind of interesting discussions and work down there. But you know, I've got some context, and I think it should be interesting.
Okay, well, we'll speak to you again next week. And meanwhile, congratulations on surviving the macho world of Kalgoorlie and tattooed truckers.
Thanks so much,
Doug. Some people would have found that a real big turn on, I'm sure.
Yeah, believe me, after driving across the Nullarbor, my trucker fantasies are now deceased.
Okay, thank you, Daniel Whithouse. We'll speak to Daniel again next week. Don't forget, Daniel's travelling companion, Paul Hollingworth, reports into the Conch on Monday mornings.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.